Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 780, Lisa Frankenstein.
No, this way.
Yeah.
That's kind of insulting to that movie. I don't think we should.
You're crazy.
I'm crazy?
Yeah.
No, you're crazy.
No way.
What?
No way.
Well, I don't know what we're fighting about.
I think this movie is great.
Do you?
Yes.
It was okay.
I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
Yeah. I mean, but it's not on a level of Young Frankenstein.
No.
Yeah.
Of course not.
I think that's his point.
That's fair.
Allow me to mediate.
Hey, weird. I just went through that.
It's the last episode of Real Spoilers. We're all breaking up.
Is that what ends it?
Yeah.
Is I gotta tell you, when you talk to a mediator, it sure is.
Oh, do it the old-fashioned fist fight way. I have a kid that'll be 20 in August. And I'm still in court.
That's crazy, dude.
Still in court.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, here's all my bank
statements.
Are they
going to film it?
Oh, God, I wish.
Reality show?
They might. They might. I mean, some courtrooms have, you know, you see them on TV, but some courtrooms
that's true.
Do
I
have
mean,
video
a whole,
cameras.
There's a whole show on A&E, which you can watch on Hulu, which I highly recommend because it's a blast, yeah. Called Court Cam.
Yep.
And it's just footage of weird things that happen in court. And and it's family court, traffic court. Like, they almost all have cameras anymore.
All of the above.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Someone's just watching those to see what
They're curated to have, like, the crazy stuff happens.
Right, but if there's an incident,
yes.
I don't think they're there to catalog the trial as much
as... No, you've got a court reporter for that.
It's more just like, if something goes wrong, they have film for evidence.
I gotta tell you, that's an unsung profession.
Court reporter.
The court, because
I can't believe it still exists.
There's all kinds of different versions of it, though.
Yeah.
Like, the entire time I worked in that world, there were people that would talk into, like, a little microphone, mm-hmm. and they're just repeating what they're hearing. Then you've got other people who are just like, like, typing away, and it's like
a stenographer,
right? But, like, still, it's shorthand, but still, like, watching them. I remember, like, watching this woman.
You make serious bank,
big time.
That's so cool to see how that works.
And it's not just like where they make the. I'll tell you where they make their money.
The depositions,
yeah. When they're privately hired,
oh yeah,
that's where it is.
But do you see? So they don't do shorthand anymore. Now the ones on computers, they have a keyboard that has a certain amount of letters, and they press down at the same time.
Yeah,
and it's not that little shorthand quick. It's like this.
No, some of them still do it. Still do this.
But I'm guessing the modern people.
Yeah. But they also use what's the like talk to type stuff? Like, there's a program
like Dragon Naturally Speaking 14.
Sure. But that's also that's what they like. They've got a laptop set up.
A dictaphone.
It's so funny. Yeah. But they've got like a laptop and they speak into it and it just goes. And it's like, man, that's
like a pigeon comes and picks it up and then carries it to the.
Okay, but if they're repeating what's being said, why can't they just have the thing listen to the court?
Because then
it's a union thing.
Maybe I don't know. It's a union thing. I have no idea. Yeah. I don't know how any of that
works. But yeah, like, I don't know why a court reporter still exists. If there are any court reporters listening, we'd love to know. Why do you still exist?
A, I'm glad you still exist.
Yeah, good for you.
Make that money. Job.
But like you think in today's world, like just film it, throw it on a thumb drive,
or
call it
put it, you know, microphones and speakers.
Yeah.
And boom. That's it.
I don't know. It mystifies me. But anyway, so yeah, I'm back in court
for
an honest to God old fashioned trial.
That's why,
Your Honor, I may.
Yeah.
Oh, get Brendan Fraser.
Oh man.
Oh my God. To just yell at the
yelling at the judge.
Boghorn, Leghorn.
Your Honor.
Yeah.
I say.
So anyway, let's go around the table and we'll introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, iHeart, TuneIn, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us while you're there. Be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review if you're so inclined. We'd love to hear it if it's something nice.
Even if it's not. I mean,
no, we would not love to hear that.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, they could do it. That's in YouTube comments.
That's true.
Go to the YouTube comments. Can do it. We're not going to stop
that's
it.
That's fair,
But we would not love it.
No.
And so,
we need that engagement. That does not help us for reviews.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, comments. Share,
comment away.
Yeah. So you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. It's called the League of Show Shares because we are hoping you will share an episode with your friends and or loved ones, and maybe they'll listen too. So people who were kind enough to share an episode this week include Glenn Cougar, Mellon Brewer, Tammy Lynn Powers, Betts, Richard Krotzer, Tom Dowdy, Travis Tewitt, Julianne Jordan, Ralph Tribble, Chris Valls, Gabriel Lugo, Chris Magic Man, Dissect That Film, Heather Sachs, Taylor Ward, Binge Movies, Spoiler Piece Theater, Invasion of the Remake, David Rojas, Jalen Sala, The Kryptonian Orphan, Colby Mack, Ryan Terry, Geek to Me Radio, Matt Naglia, Ronnie Castle, Mike and Oscar, Nostalgia Cast, and In Session Film. So thank you very much for sharing an episode. We greatly appreciate it. And also don't forget, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/RealSpoilers, where $5 a month, it all blurs together.
I know, it's fair.
Where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, and we like you extra.
Thor is out there. We just recorded Captain America, the first Avenger, and we've got the Avengers coming up soon. And then I've tossed some ideas out to the boys to see if we could, you know, at least get some sort of a schedule for that damn thing.
Yeah, all the ideas that weren't horror are fine.
It's a horror movie podcast, Kevin. That's what that is. So deal with it.
Okay. And then also don't forget, you can watch all of
it to court.
You can watch all of these over on YouTube. So there's all that. Let's dig in, shall we?
So I think for me, I grew up with...
You love necrophilia.
Oh my God.
I get it. Fair. It's okay. This is a safe space.
I didn't know how I was going to respond to that other than just like, no, I
this
don't.
This is the internet. It's
I guess
that's
a very simple... It's a very simple answer. Yeah. No, I don't.
If I deny it too quick,
there was this... When I was like a preteen, like from 11 to like 13, 14, there was this run of kind of like these goofy horror comedies.
Yeah.
Right? So there was Buffy
Outcast,
the Buffy the Vampire Slayer, My Boyfriend's Back, Once Bitten. So there were these horror like
adjacent. So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Dracula Dead and Loving
Dracula,
It.
Yeah, So I Married an Axe Murderer is a great example. A little bit. Heathers, like Heathers was also like sort of.
This has a bit of a Heathers vibe.
A bit of a Heathers vibe. Yeah. It has a lot.
I wouldn't consider Heathers a horror comedy, but.
No, I guess not.
But this does have a little bit of that vibe going on.
Yeah. And it also, there's a lot of Tim Burton here. There's
Edward Scissorhands has to be a lot of Edward Scissorhands inspiration.
I mean, honestly, this movie gives me a lot of respect for a movie like Edward Scissorhands. Tim Burton's not really my jam.
Me either.
He's made some things I've liked.
Sure.
But like the whole time I was watching this movie, I was like, I wish this was in the hands of a better director.
That is ultimately the problem. And no offense to Zelda Williams, the daughter of Robin Williams. This is her first movie ever. I'm thinking maybe this was a little bit too much to take on for your first film.
Diablo Cody, I think,
and this has got to be one of the worst Diablo Cody scripts. No. I think the script.
No.
Yes.
No. I like Young Adult is the worst.
I liked Young
Adult. Oh, God, I hate that movie.
But, I mean, overall, I liked the script. I liked what it was doing. I think what makes you feel that way is that this movie needed to be a lot more stylized.
Yeah.
And I can see I think if this movie had more of a fingerprint from the director, obviously Tim Burton's not going to make this movie.
But he's a good example.
But Tim Burton doing this movie would really add a level of set design and he creates these whole worlds where you don't ask yourself questions like,
why is it so weird? But it looks weird. It just is like,
you're like, I'm in a weird fantasy world. That's the logic here.
I think Beetlejuice is another one where it's like just the whole, like the house and the set design or like the way the house is, you know, when they do the models and things like that, it is just weird.
Everything that he does until like Big Fish or Big Eyes or Big whatever he likes to do, you know, everything has that vibe to it, right? Like, you can look at a movie and be like, that's
Sleepy Hollow has that.
I think you look at Sleepy Hollow and there's definitely elements where it's a
Tim Burton movie for sure. But
that's what I'm saying.
I don't think it's like Edward Scissorhands or Beetlejuice.
But you can look at a Tim Burton movie, early Tim Burton, and you're like, that's a Tim Burton movie. And I think that is part of the problem. There's probably two things at play. One, the movie feels a little stale. Like, it doesn't have that vibe to it. Like, it doesn't.
What was
have
your audience
look.
Like?
I loved them. I thought they were great. probably one of the best audiences I've ever
known. Are you being
known.
Serious?
Yeah.
But I mean, like,
he was in there by himself.
Oh,
I saw this movie with no one else.
Okay, so I honestly, there were
like six people in my theater. Although I will say they seemed to be loving it.
I had 3/4 of a full theater.
Wow.
And they loved it. And so I think that adds
probably
to it.
Helps. When there's people laughing at the absurdity and everything. But going back to my point, though, so I think with Tim Burton, you would get a little bit more like playful camera work, and just the set design might be a little weirder or something, because it looked like it was trying to be a Tim Burton movie, but it didn't have that overall feel. Like, it didn't nail it. It was like, that looks like Edward Scissorhands light, but it's not. Doesn't feel like it. And then the other thing is, well, maybe Diablo Cody's script wasn't that bad, but you need people that can deliver it in a zany, like, it's all about the delivery, right? We've talked about that, like, with Heat is probably one of the prime examples. They do a line-for-line, shot-for-shot remake of that diner scene, and you see two guys sitting there at a diner, and it's like, okay, I mean, that's fine dialogue.
And they're both capable actors, right? Yeah. Like, because that scene was originally used
for a TV movie, wasn't it?
In a TV show, right?
Yeah, and Crime Story?
That was it. And like, those actors are both solid actors still working to this
like
day.
It was fine. It wasn't ever
bad. Was it Dennis Farina?
No, it wasn't even anybody of that level. Oh, okay. It was like just character actors who pop up in things all the time but have never really broken out.
Got it.
So like, but they're good.
Yeah, and it's fine, but it
they're
never
not.
Pops. It doesn't.
They're
Pacino
not
and De Niro.
Pacino and De Niro.
And so it's just that difference. But I liked a lot of actors in this movie, though. I do really feel this is a weaker script by Diablo Cody. Like, I feel like her scripts are so good. She's written so many great movies. And this movie just, to me, feels like it just doesn't have quite the bite. Like, the thing she's trying to do is social commentary. To me, I'm like, they made Promising Young Woman. Like, there are things that where I feel like, coming after a movie like Promising Young Woman, you're trying to get revenge on people and stuff. I'm like, this also feels like an imitation of other better
movies. I don't know. I mean, I hear you. But the revenge thing, the first kill is an accident. Like, I don't think that neither one of them intended to kill the mom. I think he meant to hit her, but not kill her.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
But I don't think that it's a revenge.
Well, she's killing all the people in her life that have wronged her in one way or another.
Well, she only kills. Well, she doesn't kill anybody.
Well,
I'm just saying.
But
like Saw.
that's exactly right.
I don't know about that. I mean, we can get into it when we talk about.
I mean,
the plot, but
I mean,
she does cut the guy's hand off.
She lures him to his death.
You're telling me that's not killing? Like, that's you would get.
She would be just as culpable legally. Probably
for that one.
Yeah. Because she lures that kid to his death.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You can't say, you said anybody. And that she's just as, she knows what she's doing.
After the fact, that is for the correct. Stepmother. She would be culpable.
For the kid. And then I don't think she would be culpable for the not boyfriend. That was all him.
But connecting the dots, she would probably still get charged for that one after all the other two. I'm just saying, like, you tell a court, oh yeah, I killed or knew about killing those other two, but this one was a surprise. Don't charge me for that one.
It was kind of a surprise.
The court's great reaction
in the theater.
But the court is going to go, oh yeah, that third one. Like, they're going to be like, yeah, BS. You know what he was doing. Like, so
I could see a jury not convicting, though.
I could as well.
Like, be like, guilty on the first two, but not that one.
Not that one.
Yeah. So instead of doing 180 years in prison, you will do 150 years.
Congratulations.
Well done.
I'll tell you the things I liked about this movie. I liked the music. I loved the 80s. I thought it felt very authentic 80s, mm-hmm. right? Especially, I mean, this
Except
is a,
White Diamonds came out in 1991. I just of need course, to point that out.
That's fair.
I was like, White Diamonds did not exist in the 80s, so the mother could not have been wearing that perfume.
That's funny.
Even though, like, I get why she left it in, because it was spot on when she gets to White Diamonds, like, yeah, she's a bitch.
That was a great
line.
That
might be the best line in the movie.
That's a fantastic line.
Yeah.
But I really liked the look of it. I agree that it was trying to, like, kind of imitate Tim Burton. But I liked the overall vibe of, like, oh, this is 80s. It felt like something like a Heathers or you know, just an 80s coming of age, kind of outcast loner type movie. And I thought that lead actor was fantastic. What's her name? I've never seen her before.
Yeah, you have. She's Cassie. She's Cassie from Ant-Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair, but she was little and didn't
She's the new Cassie.
Oh, she's the new one?
She's the one of the third one.
Catherine Newton.
Yeah.
I thought she was phenomenal. She has that thing like Lily James has. She has it to me. I think that she is fantastic.
We should go back and listen to that Ant-Man episode and see if you talked to
her. I don't think I did.
No, I don't.
No. I liked her in that. Yeah. But I just, to me, like, that's a very small role. She's not carrying the movie. She's, you know.
She's there, but she's the third lead.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, she carries this movie.
Yeah.
Her co-star, her co-lead doesn't talk, right? So she's carrying most of this movie, and she's got this quirky personality, and she's fun. You know, I just think she carries herself well. Anyway, I thought she was phenomenal. I think if she weren't in the movie, or if there were a weaker actor in the lead, this movie would be unwatchable. So I think she really makes this movie.
I don't think it's that. I don't see that at all. I
love when we're all at three different points on the spectrum.
It's happened like the last three movies.
Like, you hate it, you love it. And I was like, it was okay.
Yeah. I think this movie is weirder than Saltburn. See, when people say Saltburn's weird, this is a weird movie. Not in a bad way, but like, I'm watching this movie and I'm like, this is weird.
It is.
Like,
it is weird, but I also these are the kind of movies that I remember watching as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, where they are just like these weird 80s horror comedy.
Fred's Dead.
No, what's the one with
Drop Dead Fred?
Yes, Drop Dead. Drop Dead. That's a weird movie. Yeah. Like, that is a.
And I like weird. I was thinking about it. I'm like, Saltburn's grounded. Like, yes, there are things that are peculiar.
Well,
I
think
it,
that's what makes it weird, right? The fact that it's grounded in reality, where this movie is not grounded
at
in
all.
Reality.
Yeah.
So, like, when it does weird things, like, it's.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
It doesn't feel as weird.
Where in Saltburn, you're like, these are real people doing some weird stuff.
Yeah.
But there was some things that I think are attributed to the director of just, you know, not having the experience. I'm not trying to be insulting, but being a first film, there's some things that just go on and on and on in this movie. The beginning of this movie, like, it's not till about 45 minutes in. I check the time and I'm like, okay, this is picking up. This is getting interesting. But the setup with the mom and the sister, I remember there were times with the sister, she's just talking and talking and talking. I'm like, just cut this and move on to the next thing.
I don't disagree with you. I feel like this movie did, for me at least, it moved pretty quick.
I thought it was a drag until it got into it.
You know, the reason I felt like it moved pretty quick is because I remember, you know, sitting there and enjoying it. And at the draft house, right, they give you your check with like 20 to 15 minutes left in the movie. And they're just, so like, I'm watching the movie and then all of a sudden here comes the gal with the check. And I was like, how much is left of this? Like, are we really like 20 minutes left to go? Like, this is, but I think that character, the sister, the stepsister, does kind of remind me of the vapid characters, like in Heathers, like the three Heathers with the, you know, Shannon Doherty is one of them, but there's really nothing to them. And the sister isn't really like a main character. I mean, she's there. She's there a lot, and she's circling.
I disagree. I think she's a main character.
Well, I guess what I mean is, like, we're not focusing on her. Like, the story is Lisa's story.
Yeah.
And Lisa is, you know, it's what that's a reference to, right?
What's that?
What's the name of Kelly LeBrock in Weird Science?
Is that Lisa?
Lisa. Oh. Like, this is...
I thought it was supposed to be Lisa Frank.
No. She's named after Lisa from Weird Science.
Oh, okay.
Like, and that's... Because Diablo Cody, I guess she said, she's like, I love that movie. And this is kind of like Weird Science as well.
That was their way to not get sued by Lisa Frank.
I guess. Yeah.
I love the... Weird Science. Yes,
Weird Science is great.
But I figured because of the colorful... It's 80s and colorful. Right.
But she's not colorful.
Lisa Frank is very synonymous with...
That's true. No, she was named after Lisa from Weird Science.
Okay.
But so... I don't know. I felt like she is kind of boring, but very over the top 80s.
But to be clear, I don't dislike the actor that plays the sister. I just mean I think the writing and the directing is off. I think that they should have cut more out. I don't, you know, there were just parts of it that dragged to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, this is where you cut in a scene. Like there was some dialogue that just went on, and it wasn't that useful to the story. It was just like, come on, just go. Also, the thing I thought was kind of weird is that the Lisa, the main character, so she's now, her dad is remarried and she's a part of this new family, and it's because the mom was killed by an axe murderer.
Oh, man, that's great.
But like, that never comes
it
back.
It never comes back.
You would think that all of a sudden the axe murderer would come in, the zombie would kill him. Like, there's
I thought it was going to be her.
I
went through three permutations. At first I thought, well, the dad killed
her. Then I was thinking there'd be some element like that.
When the sister is going on about how they met 6 months later
and got
married. I was like, oh, well, it was all a setup, right?
Yeah.
And the dad is so unsuspecting.
But then as soon as you see the dad, I was like, okay, I don't think it's the dad. Yeah. Then you see the stepmom, and I was like, well, maybe the stepmom did it.
Yeah.
She's a real ball buster.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I had a moment where I thought, well, maybe Lisa did it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, but she is mourning the loss of her mother too much.
Right.
Like, she, you know, is...
But there could be some kind of a break there, but, okay, somewhere. Yes,
but to me, that whole thing is right out of those wackadoo 80s horror comedies. Like, they just have this thing in there and then it's never talked about again.
I guess to me this movie feels tonally off. I really liked it when it actually got more weird, and then the killing and all that stuff. I'm like, okay, this is crazy. Like, okay, where, like, this is okay, but the movie does not start off feeling like it's that type of movie. And so when it takes the shift, I feel like it's jarring. There's just the shift that happens where I'm like, I don't think
that's so interesting, because I didn't feel that at all.
I just
felt like it was a natural progression of Lisa.
I felt like she shifted too quickly. All of a sudden she becomes a badass, and there's not really any kind of impetus for that.
When she puts him in the tanning bed for the first, when they kill the mom, the stepmom, and then they put him in the tanning bed, there is, I will agree with you, there is definitely a quick shift.
She goes from nothing to killer.
To cool girl.
But it's an accidental death. Like, if you could see it leading up where somehow she's like, you know, I'm going to get revenge on these people or something. Like, if there were any inclination.
What they needed, I think, is an It's Alive scene. Right? Like, Frank, Dr. Frankenstein, I don't know if you know this, but the monster's not named Frankenstein.
His name is Adam, actually.
Yeah. But Dr. Frankenstein, like, he becomes kind of drunk on power, right? Like, when he realizes, holy shit, I can bring people back to life.
Yep.
Right? And so, like, we needed a moment of that. And that's where I feel like a better director would have given us some sort of moment of her recognizing, like, I've got crazy powers.
And also, she's
I control life and death.
She way too quickly accepts that the guy breaking into her house is this alive monster. Like, it does not take her by one ounce of surprise, not one iota. Once she goes and she's just like, oh, hey, you know, come out to
my
room.
Have you seen My Boyfriend's Back?
Probably a long time ago.
I mean, it's the exact same thing. Like, and what I mean, so the premise of that movie is, it's the this guy, you know, his boyfriend dies. He comes back. As a zombie, and then but his girlfriend is immediately like, it's cool.
But
like,
she knows him, so at least there's a, I mean, I know that's weird, but we're talking about weird movies.
Yeah.
There's a familiarity. What I'm saying is that her mom was killed by an axe murderer. 2 years later, a crazy guy breaks into the house. She would be traumatized, you know, going through all this PTSD, and then he's chasing her around. It's a funny scene where she's hanging off the roof. Hold on. She's hanging off the roof, and then she comes back inside, and he's sitting there messing with a shoe phone. She's
like, but do you think that's the same guy? I did not, like, that's where I did have an issue with that, where...
You think there's a different murderer?
I don't know, because when we see that...
He's muddy, and it's, like, cleaned up. He's just muddy and messy.
But, so she... in that scene, right, she's hanging off the porch, or off the roof. She falls and lands on him, and then she stands up and goes inside, and then he's already inside.
Yeah. He had wandered. Well, again, that's bad editing.
That's
or directing.
Where I was like, wait, who is that guy?
That's what I mean. It was very weird, first of all, the way the movie presented. But if this movie dropped the ball on there was another murderer and he ran away and never addressed it, this movie's 10 times worse than.
Yeah. I just thought it was weird. Because like the way that whole, when we see this thing for the first time, it looks like the rubber poop monster from Dogma. Yeah. Like it's just mud.
It's just caked in dirt.
They edited out him cleaning it off or something.
I guess. Like
but do you realize though, that would be terrible through line just.
I don't disagree.
Oh, there was another
murder
in the house, and he never comes back, and we never address.
What happened to that guy?
It's him. But so then she wanders and she's like, "Oh, that's my dad's shoe phone. Okay, come upstairs, crazy murderer."
She knows it's him because he's got the necklace that she left at the grave.
Yeah. He showed her upstairs after she brought him.
I thought
up
he
to
was wearing it.
No, he then goes like this. She goes, "Oh, my rosary. Oh, you're the guy." That's later. She accepts him and brings him upstairs after just being chased around by a PTSD crazy murderer that broke into her house. It's just weird. She's scared and she walks in and goes, "Oh, that's my dad's shoe phone." Like, why would you be in that mode?
No offense. I think you are thinking about this way too hard.
I think a better director would have put this in a sillier, more fantastical world.
I don't disagree.
That would make people not ask these questions.
But you were willing to give Argyle the benefit of the doubt about the book stuff.
Yeah, because it's a book.
But I will also say, even though I think I probably like this a little better than Argyle, Argyle did a much better job of creating a silly fantastical world.
That's fair.
I never for one moment thought that this was even adjacent to normalcy.
You thought what was adjacent to normalcy?
Argyle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so this movie, though, about 45 minutes in, again, once the killing starts happening, it gets so weird where I'm like, oh, this has got a weird vibe to it. It is more fantastical. And I was more on board. But that beginning of the movie, they set it up and it feels so grounded. And so I'm just going to say stale. But it's just there's no score going on in the background. It's quiet. It's that thing where you're just like not being taken into the world. You're just watching this kind of bland thing play out. And then all of a sudden it takes this shift and it's jarring to me because I don't see how a character would accept this again. And if it was a weird, quirky world from the beginning,
right,
then I'd be like, oh, well, this is all silly. So it doesn't really make sense. But
yeah, like think of what the suburbs look like in Edward Scissorhands, right? Yeah.
Sure. Yes.
And in this one, theirs is the only house that looks weird or different, right?
Yes.
Houses look perfectly normal.
I think their house even on the outside looks normal.
No, because
it's
all pink on the outside.
I thought of Edward Scissorhands. Yeah. Immediately, I'm like, well, they're trying to make the house look like the weird houses of Edward Scissorhands.
Yes.
But yeah, so there's just something about it. I wanted to like this movie. I really, again, I like the craziness when it picks up. I like the look. I like the music. I like the vibes. I feel like, oh, this is a cool, chill teen comedy, whatever. Like, but yeah, it just took me out of it when they would make these shifts that just didn't seem to.
You know what this kind of reminds me of? This is going to be kind of a weird thing to compare to.
Do it.
It reminds me of Cop Out.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great, like, that's because, a very interesting comparison.
Because Cop Out wanted to be this throwback to 80s action movies. Yeah. They even bring back Harold Faltermeyer to do the score. But, like, it just doesn't get there. And, like, I think I liked Cop Out about the same as I like this. I liked what it was trying to do.
Yeah.
But it just didn't quite get there. Now, in that case, I don't know that I blame the director.
Can't.
I
Well, I mean, you can.
Blame Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Right.
But,
well, can we?
Yeah.
At this point, I guess he's still with his facilities at that point.
I think so.
You can't.
He's totally with it.
Like, yeah, like, I'm just like, I don't subscribe to this. Like, yeah, when it's a movie I've never heard of that went straight to VOD,
sure.
Like, whatever. I don't even consider those real. But, like, right. When he's making movies like Cop Out and stuff. He was
Red.
Cop Out was before that Red last, 1 and 2, right?
So like, I think it's in so, that yeah. It's in that time frame, yes.
Or that last Die Hard movie.
Oh,
like
boy.
Those weren't
there were they real were, movies
and became, like yeah. Look, let's with all due respect to Bruce Willis, who's made some great movies
mm-hmm.
and I think he was great when he wanted to be.
I think you're absolutely right.
Same year as Red.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was notorious for decades. For like, oh, this one's for a paycheck and phoning it in.
Yeah.
That is not something you can blame on the aphasia. Like
that's true.
He was doing that for years. So I am not going to rewrite history to forgive him for every third movie being a lazy actor and just taking the money.
I think there's definitely a point where you're just like, I mean, he stopped starring in big theatrical movies,
right?
And I do think that's where it starts.
Yeah,
sure.
But I agree with you. Is you know you am I gonna get am I gonna blame the whatever what's it called aphasia?
I think it's called aphasia.
Am I gonna blame striking distance on aphasia?
No,
I'm absolutely not.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, so this movie starts. We're introduced to Lisa and her sister Tiff,
Taffy,
and I realized the movie that I didn't like was Tully.
I love Tully.
Not Young
Tully
Adult.
Tully is so good.
I did not like Tully.
See, I did not like Young Adult. I love Tully.
Did not like that one.
Loved it.
Do
you like Tully? I thought you liked it.
Yeah, I did. I was getting them mixed up for a second.
I don't
want to
spoil it, but there's kind of a twist with the...
Yeah, no, yeah. I like Tully. I
thought the movie's great.
Yeah. And I liked Young Adult. Now I did
like Young Adult.
I came to Young Adult, like, it came out. I didn't see it. Everybody trashed it. I watched it years later.
And
went into it. I was like, I've never seen this. It's the only one that of hers that I haven't seen.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me sit down and watch it. It was during COVID when I was working overnights in a morgue and I was pounding through.
I forgot about that.
I was pounding through movies and TV shows like crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you want to talk about weird. I'm in an abandoned industrial park in a surge morgue with a room full of dead bodies 10 feet away from me, and not knowing really what it's about, I decided to watch Last Man on Earth.
Perfect.
Which is great.
Yeah.
But like,
whoops,
a little weird.
That is weird.
It's a little weird.
I when it comes to Diablo Cody, I wonder if she is 15 steps ahead of everyone, because I feel like her movies,
they all catch up.
They catch up, right? Jennifer's body got on.
Yeah.
And then
I would just like to go on record, and it's probably over on Review STL, review of Jennifer's Body. I loved it.
And that's what I mean.
I gave it a great review.
As I think
that was her second movie. Now that's wild. Yes. Juno, Jennifer's Body.
Oh.
Then Young Adult.
Okay.
I mean, then there's Paradise. I've never heard of it.
I think she did some TV stuff.
Ricky and the Flash. Yeah, that's skipping the TV stuff. But
I didn't realize she wrote Ricky and the Flash. That looked bad. I never saw it.
And then Tully, and then Lisa Frankenstein. I didn't realize Jennifer's Body was her second film. Jeez.
But she didn't direct that, right? Did she?
I don't think she directed
direct movies.
She hasn't directed anything.
Yeah. Okay. She comes out of the gates, I mean, like a ball of fire with Juno.
Yeah.
Oh
and
my gosh. Yeah.
She's got Elliot Page and Michael Cera and J.K. Simmons, and I can't remember who the mom is.
Oh, it's what's her? Allison Janney.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Jason Bateman, Jennifer Garner.
Yes.
Yeah, Michael Cera.
Yeah,
that movie's so good.
That movie is.
It was funny because that was right as Arrested Development was out, and Michael Cera and Jason Bateman were both in the movie, but they made a point to never put them on screen
and
together.
Jason Bateman is a very different character.
Jason Bateman's always played smarmy douchebags.
Do you remember him in that movie where he's in the pretend to be in the wheelchair or whatever? I hated that movie so much.
Jason Bateman?
Yeah, he plays the jerk or something, and he's
Is that the one that like the TikTok clip that was going around about him talking to some gal at a restaurant?
Let me look it up.
Is it the bad the one where he's like trying to win the spelling bee or whatever? Is it that
might be?
I think it's called spelling bee.
He played a jerk in this movie, and I'm like, this movie's so bad. I always think of him in that.
He plays the smarmy guy, but he always does have that little like, heart of gold.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're just like, you're kind of a dick, but I like hanging out with you. Not in Juno.
Yeah.
Not at all.
But they head fake you.
They do. Yeah.
Right? Because you do like him for a good chunk of the movie.
And you're like, oh, no.
And then they pull the rug out for
the X with Zach Braff.
I've never seen that.
No, I've never seen that either.
He's a jerk in that movie. And
but I think, we've seen that before where a writer writes this script and gets the right cast at the right time. And it is...
And the right director.
And Jason Reitman?
Yeah.
Do you remember? I mean, that 1-2-3 punch right there.
Man.
Juno, thank you for smoking up in the air.
Oh, is that right? Man, he was firing all
three
cylinders.
For three, and they were all phenomenal.
Yeah.
He left out Labor Day. He was 4-for-4.
See, that's the reason I mentioned 3-for-3. That's why he fell so far on Labor Day.
And then what do you do after Labor Day? Ghostbusters?
No.
He had to do something else in between there.
Didn't he direct that Adam Sandler movie?
I think he did. I never saw
that
one.
The Big Blue Ball or something like that?
Yeah, I never saw that
one. It was bad. It so wanted to be profound, and it was just like, I mean, they might as well called it Live, Laugh, Love. Like, it was bad.
He did The Front Runner with Hugh Jackman. Remember?
I did like that one. It was good. That was good.
Yeah, that was...
I watched that during COVID. I remember that.
But that was a bummer, though, when he did...
Well, look, man.
What is this?
You gotta fail sometimes.
Yeah, no,
keeps you humble.
No, for sure. But it was just such a weird.
But she comes out of that, and it is. I mean, it's a perfect movie.
It's great.
It's fantastic.
It's great.
And sometimes I feel like that happens to a writer, and they're just trying to recapture that.
Yeah,
and they can't. Where I feel like she
for Labor Day. Did you say leap year?
No, I said Labor Day.
Okay.
But you also hated Leap Year.
I hate Leap Year.
Yeah. Which one's that?
That's the one where, is it Amy Adams?
I think
goes to Ireland.
Like, go to Ireland. And it's Matthew like a rom-com, Smart. But with no rom or
What's
no
the
com.
Time traveling one? With,
Happy...
With Domhnall Gleeson?
Time Traveler's Wife?
No.
The one where you don't actually see any time travel.
Yeah, he goes in like a closet. And
yeah.
That's how he... But, okay. I don't know why
I know
I
exactly what
one.
You're talking about, but I'm blanking on it.
So I do feel like...
I'm just having PTSD all these. It was a Labor Day, Leap Year, all the ones that I hated.
You said Leap Year. I thought Aloha.
Oh, that
I've never
was
seen
Bradley
Aloha.
Cooper?
Bradley Cooper and Emma Stone?
Cameron Crowe.
And she plays Hawaiian or something like
she's
that.
She's like half Hawaiian, half Asian.
Got all this,
Yeah. And you get Emma Stone.
Yeah.
Like the ginger. Like, sorry.
She could have dyed her hair.
She could have.
I think she's a blonde, naturally. I think the redhead is not her natural hair color.
What is she like?
You know how sometimes you see her with blonde hair? Shit, I think
who
that's...
was Donna Pinciotti? Laura Prepon.
Yeah, I don't know. I could be wrong, but I think I found out because she started off and she was always a redhead.
Always
which
a redhead.
Kind of her thing, but I don't think that's her natural
hair. I think she was a blonde in Easy A, and everybody was like, what the hell?
Yeah, and she was just on The Curse. She doesn't have red hair. So I don't know. I don't think that's her natural. But
So, yeah, I do think that like she is, for whatever reason, her movies, her scripts at least, are 20 steps ahead.
Yeah.
And then they come out and they kind of get...
On
some yeah.
And then
within like
come
5 years,
go,
they're like, oh wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, and
this might become a cult classic.
This is going to be.
But I don't think critics are going to come around and say, that movie was really good. So,
But
49% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. I left it because I usually don't look up the scores. I actually didn't watch a trailer. I didn't know anything about the plot of this movie, not one thing. So I didn't know what to expect at all. And then I looked up the Rotten Tomatoes. I go, am I crazy? I'm like, this was not it. And it was at 50% at that time. Like, okay.
I also think, I don't know, I have gotten to a point with critics, professional critics, not anybody at this table, where it's like, not everything has to be a Christopher Nolan movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, you can accept the fact that it's, you know, is... So a movie like this, I just think, needs to be graded on a different scale.
But I think critics know that, too, because we've seen fun movies come out where people don't grade it and go and talk about, oh, well, that, you know, whatever, the lighting and the cinematography. Like, first of all, Rotten Tomatoes is now comprised of a lot
That's
of
true.
Not professional
yeah,
critics.
Yeah, yeah,
you know what I mean? Not
yeah.
getting paid for it, but... You know, so
no,
I mean, they're,
right,
they're good.
Right.
There's a lot of great writers, but they opened the doors to a lot more, you know, just from diversity and different voices. So you're not getting just Entertainment Weekly and The New Yorker.
Or the Washington Post.
Or
whatever,
these are people that have blogs and movie review sites, you know, ReviewSTL and, you know, a lot of our friends that are on Twitter that do movie reviews. So you're getting a lot of different voices now. And there are still people that like fun movies and everything. So I don't know. I don't know.
No, I hear you.
I'm a big believer in judging a movie on what it wants to be.
Yeah.
For sure. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, you gotta meet a movie where it's at. Yes. I don't want everything to be Citizen Kane.
Right. No.
Right? Like, no. It's great when something is, but like I also want Caddyshacks to exist.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And credit to this movie for being different. I mean, I appreciate that a movie like this exists out there. I appreciate that there are people writing these quirky, strange stories and that this movie got made. And I don't know if because Zelda Williams was behind it. Like, I don't know what the impetus was for this being greenlit. You know, well,
I think you put Diablo Cody's name on something, somebody's going to greenlight it.
Yeah. I think if that was true, we'd see Diablo Cody movies a lot more frequently.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I think maybe that depends on her, though, right? Like, maybe it's her.
I think if people were throwing money at her, she'd learn to write a lot faster. Like, right? Like, I think, you know.
And this movie didn't go to Jason Reitman. It went to first-time director Zelda Williams, right?
Yeah.
So, again, I'm not saying, like, she didn't want Zelda to direct it, but my point is that.
It also makes me wonder, what's Juno look like if it's not in the hands of Jason Reitman?
Right.
You know?
Maybe he's like, the one maybe, that's elevating
maybe,
the material.
Maybe we'd be having this, or Kevin and I would have had a similar reaction to Juno that we had to this. We were like,
oh, maybe.
How much of his direction goes into play?
Because the dialogue in that movie is very stylized.
Very much so.
And so,
yes.
In the hands of a lesser cast, in the hands of a lesser director.
You have to know how to direct the cast to do that properly. Right.
Does that movie, like, is that going to be problematic now?
Why?
Given Elliot's transition?
I don't think so.
Change the past.
I don't know. I'm just curious. I don't know. So. I have no idea. Like, I don't think we have an actor
as well known
at transition.
Yeah.
And then like that role is, she has to be a girl.
Right.
In that role. And now he is not.
Yeah.
So I just wonder, like, is that, like,
I don't think you can retroactively, because if there were some kind of controversy surrounding a script, like he didn't want to do it or was being forced to, like, if there were a controversy.
It's not like Elliot Page has come out and disavowed
the film. That's true.
Right? And so I think that's who he was at the time.
Sure.
That's a movie that he made at the time. Where I get confused is like the whole, like, well, do I refer to him as Elliot when I'm referring to the role in that film, because that isn't who he was.
That's true.
But
right?
I think I do think
this
that
is the Ezra Miller thing, right? Because we would, when we're talking about Barry Allen,
right?
Barry Allen is a dude, right?
Right.
But Ezra Miller is a they them.
And I just mean that, like, that, you know. Yeah, like, I don't know.
It's like Juno is a girl,
but Ezra Miller is always Ezra Miller. Right?
Sure.
But when I'm talking about
a transition.
But when I'm talking about a transition like this, when I'm referring to Juno, like, do I.
I think you say Elliot Page. I think it's dead name if you don't.
Yeah, that's, I agree with you.
I'm not trying to be a dick.
I just don't want to say the wrong thing either.
I think people would understand because you're not maliciously doing
right.
it. If you were on the right doing a review and you just kept dead naming like on purpose. But in this, you're saying a different name as a star. But I think, for courtesy, and if you're trying to do the right thing, I would say that Elliot Page starred in that movie.
Yeah.
It's just that's, they are one person, and that is their name now.
Right, you're right.
They were in that movie, and, you know.
As a different person, but still the same.
Yeah. I think so. But I also want to point out, Juno, first-time director Jason Reitman.
Yeah.
Look how great that movie was.
That's true.
They and hit the ground running.
It does make me think, if Jason Reitman hadn't done Juno, we'd have been like, why are they talking like that? This movie's trying too hard.
Trying to be Wes Anderson.
Right. Yeah. Or something. But because he is really good and he just got that screenplay, he was able to convey it on screen. I feel like, unfortunately, in a way, Zelda Williams couldn't, even though overall I like this movie.
Yeah.
I think it could have been way better.
That's true. With somebody like Jason Reitman at the helm of this, it does elevate it. And I think about Thank You for Smoking, and I think about
that'd be so good.
Up in the Air, which I loved that movie so much.
Those three movies are phenomenal.
The dialogue in all three of them is very similar.
Yeah.
So I do think there's something to you saying that Reitman, Jason, did have it immediately with those three.
He knows how to direct that quick talking.
And now he's like, dialogue. Hey, man, I'm just doing Ghostbusters, and I'm cool with it. Like,
hey, he's not just doing it.
What do you mean?
Oh, looks good. I mean, it's not just Ghostbusters.
Oh, dang. No. Yes.
Hey, that's a lot of pressure. Think that about the pressure he has from his dad's, the fan base. Like, yeah. That is a huge... But he did the last one, right?
He did, yes.
And it was good.
I really enjoyed it. It was definitely a remake of the first one.
It was
one, but...
a good story, mm-hmm. but it wasn't funny.
That's the problem.
And I will say this the last trailer for the Ghostbusters, I did laugh.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and because they finally looks like they're going to let Paul Rudd be Paul Rudd.
Which is what we want.
Like, mm-hmm. It needs to be funny.
Yes.
Like, the other one was so focused on, like, we have to preserve the
nostalgia
legacy.
I think they will. Now that he got his, you know, he got up to bat, he let's say, maybe not a home run, but, you know.
He had a solid double.
Yeah. I mean, but it was good, right? And the fan base accepted him back, you mm-hmm. know, into, you know, to carry on his father's legacy.
If they're like, no, you don't get Ghostbusters. And Chase Redman's like, what?
But I could see it, though, because it's like, you're not your dad, right? Like, they're just because his dad did it. Right. I mean, it would suck. It would feel,
and also,
I'm sure,
I think his dad, I mean, and I think Ivan Reitman has some amazing films to his credit. Doesn't hurt that he had Harold Ramis working with him.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, like, that helps.
Yeah.
Had Ghost Dad in this one. This was that one. And spoilers for Ghostbusters.
What's the superhero movie he did?
Who's that?
Isn't Ivan Reitman did that with Uma Thurman? She's a superhero.
Oh.
Is she like a surprise?
Oh, my super ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, she's a surprise superhero or whatever.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. It's whatever. So we'll just... I mean, this one is very... the plot of this is very simple. Lisa is kind of lovelorn. She's very weird due to the axe murder of her mother. And she goes to a party.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, Roy. I don't think she's that weird, and that's why it's so jarring, because she seems like a sweet kid that's been through some stuff. She's quiet. I don't think she's weird in the beginning.
I think she's... You have to look at this from the 80s perspective. In the 80s, she's a weird kid. She's a weird kid who isn't...
She's not.
She's...
I don't disagree.
I was there.
See what I'm saying? Like, she seems like a quiet...
I mean, this movie takes place in 1989. I was 19.
87?
89.
Okay.
She doesn't start dressing...
Because they go see Look Who's Talking. Yeah. It comes out in 1989.
Yeah. You're right. Because they don't... Well, that's weird. Why wouldn't they go see Batman?
Because it's not June.
They couldn't get...
They're still
in
school.
They couldn't get tickets.
They're still in
school. Oh. Yeah.
But she doesn't start acting like the outcast until the killing and all that stuff.
Right.
And that's what I mean. But I need some kind of impetus and...
See, I don't think she starts. I do think she starts... She's quiet and she's into like poetry and art and things like that that I don't think... Her sister and mm-hmm. the Heathers, which is, I'm just going to refer to the friends as the Heathers because that's kind of
what they did.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. So I think she starts to become kind of the Madonna punk rock chick after the first murder.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I do think she's socially awkward. She doesn't want to go to this party. Sure. Nobody's talking. They're all kind of like, what are you doing? She can't, you know.
I don't want to change schools my senior year of high school. I mean, that's just I think that's relatable.
It is relatable, but she's weird for this school because she is the outcast. She is the new kid. She doesn't have any friends.
Yeah.
The guy that she likes has this other weird...
Okay, that is a...
I didn't know where that was going.
That is a weird relationship. I cannot quite get a read on the jock being with Heathers.
He wasn't with her. Like, I think that she was, like, the friend who wanted to be with that guy.
But she seemed like she was jealous. Or like,
she
hey,
was
Lisa
jealous
or whatever.
Because he was giving Lisa attention.
So they weren't together?
I don't think they were together. He ends up sleeping
with a sister who is the cheerleader, the popular one.
Yeah.
I just could not. Did you get that dynamic between the like hot jock guy and the other girl?
I thought that they were together or Taffy had designs on the guy the whole time because she was always being like, what do you like?
No, he means the goth
she's
chick.
Like, the white
who kind of threw Lisa under the bus about the note,
the one that's being mean and like being mean to Lisa.
Who gave Lisa the spiked drink?
Okay,
the girl that's with the guy in every scene. I mean, she's always around this guy, and I thought they were dating.
I took it as she was like they were friends. She wanted
you don't
to
even remember
no,
that
I
character.
Don't, I don't, oh yeah, there was yeah, there was the, there was kind of there was the goth chick that was always hanging around the guy.
Yeah,
and every time Lisa would show up, this guy would give Lisa attention.
Yeah,
she would
be jealous.
I thought it was his sister.
Oh,
this
where
is
did you
hilarious.
Get? Well, because when he comes into the the dry cleaners or the tailor
shop. She pops up.
Yeah. She pops up, and they were together. And so since it was never referenced,
that's so funny.
I thought they were like brother, sister, or something.
I thought they were friends.
I
thought he friend zoned her.
Yeah.
Is what I thought.
Well, that's. This is very interesting for three people to interpret something that seems so basic.
I feel like there's a deleted scene.
Yeah.
There might be, that
establishes who she is a little better because like
the answer is she is his sister and they are together.
Yeah. and he also friend zoned.
And they cut it out.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm like maybe that because he runs the literary magazine or whatever. Yeah. Like maybe she's just a writer for the literary magazine.
That could be.
And, you know, or the co-editor or whatever.
I am going to have to do some more research on if someone talks about those characters because that's...
So they go, Taffy brings Lisa to this party. Lisa takes, you know, trying to impress the jock guy. She takes a massive drink. She does not drink of whatever's in this cup and it messes her up. It is, I know, 10 minutes is...
Yeah, we're on the second scene of the movie.
We'll do this really quick. She the entire time though she hangs out at the Bachelor Cemetery, which I thought was a hilarious name for the cemetery.
Yeah,
and there's this one statue that she is kind of always drawn to. While she's all,
but it's Frankenstein, the real name, because she sketches it on a.
We only see like the K and the Stein. We don't see the rest of it.
Oh, yeah. So she writes in Frankenstein.
That's a little better then.
Because the tombstone, like the front half of the name was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. And I do remember like in Cran or whatever.
She
it's, like,
writes
written in
Lisa
Frank,
and then
Frank. But the Frank part is like more made up.
Yes.
I'm like,
it just
said,
it does. It does just say Stein.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So she wanders into the graveyard. She says like, I wish I was with you, I think is what she says. And because she wishes in this weird storm, it resurrects this zombie. And this is, I think, this is kind of like Encino Man, again. Like, there's all these different, like...
Weird science.
I love weird science so much. It's so good.
Doesn't that happen? Doesn't lightning hit the computer and that's what makes the...
No, they I don't... Man,
I... They actually do it? I thought lightning hit the house.
No, I think they actually do it. And then Kellett, man, Kellett LeBrock. To find how do you do
talk about it. Did you watch the TV show, too?
No.
I love that. Oh, I love the movie and the TV show.
Oh, no. Who was in the TV show?
I don't remember who, but it's just the same premise, but
sure.
You know, these nerds with the girl.
Man, that scene where she comes walking out of the thing.
Changed you forever.
Good
huh?
Lord. Yeah. But she's like, let's go take a shower. And they're in the shower, like all, she's like, why are you wearing your clothes? And they're like, I don't know. So he shows up and then to your credit, to what you said, like there, he
explained it. It's a weird.
She's watching Dawn of the Dead or Day of the Dead, not Dawn of the Dead. She's watching the one in the bunker. Yeah. Day of the Dead. With Bub, and this guy looks very much like Bub, and yeah, so she gets him all. She's trying to piece, you know, he's missing an ear, he's missing an arm. She kind of freaks out about the whole thing, and then shoves him in the closet. The relationship between Taffy and Lisa is fine.
Yeah,
like those, they definitely love each other. They're
Taffy's
sisters.
A sweet girl. She really.
Yeah,
is.
I like that they didn't make Taffy a bitch.
The evil stepsister. Yeah,
I was thinking
I kept waiting for that to take a turn.
Nancy Allen from.
Carrie, yeah,
you know, like that, just that awful,
yeah. And
but she
never
was.
She like legitimately
she does something that's not nice, but
you know what? That's not. But she, I don't really know that we can classify it as not nice.
The only thing I can say is that she knew that Lisa had mentioned more than once that
right.
she was into this guy,
and again, the movie never makes this clear. I kind of got the vibe that
they were already a thing
because Taffy. From the get is steering her away from him.
That's true.
And she's like, I don't get what you like about him. Mm, and like,
that's fair.
That guy's a straight up hunk. Right.
Yeah, right.
Like
he's got the leather jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's got the perfect hair.
Yes.
Right. And so like, there's no way a girl is looking at that guy and being like, I don't get it.
Right. Right. Right.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean,
right.
That's fair that she was trying to keep him for herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Sorry. I think they were already a thing.
Already.
And she was steering Lisa away because she's like, she didn't want to create drama.
Yeah, that
and
makes
she
sense.
Didn't want to hurt her feelings. But again, that's not really on the screen, so I am kind of writing that
that's fair.
For them.
Sorry. And, hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Hold on, Gwen. Do you want to say hi on the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm going to point you at the camera and just say hi.
Hi.
I got FaceTime. All right, I'll talk to you when we're done.
She's like, I know how long these things
yeah,
are.
Yeah, I know.
So the stepmom is horrible. She is the wicked stepmother, Carla.
Very much so.
Gugino.
Yeah. Who is? She's always great.
And so she was in Son-in-Law with Pauly Shore. You mentioned Encino Man earlier.
Yes, that's right.
So that's kind of a funny.
Man, that's crazy.
I loved those movies.
That's her.
Yeah, she's the daughter.
I just think about her career in general. Yeah. Like, that's, I mean, that's what, 92, 91?
Something.
Man, that's crazy.
I used to love Son-in-Law, Encino Man.
Hated those movies.
I like Biodome.
Biodome is the ball.
I love those movies.
The worst.
Silly 90s. So they have a horrible relationship because she is horrible. The stepmom character is terrible.
Yes.
And she's very
mean
to Lisa.
She's always blaming Lisa for everything. And, you know.
And so during this break, and a bunch of her stuff gets broken, she's already gotten in trouble for breaking a mirror after the party and the drunk situation.
Right, right.
So now she's throwing all these porcelain things at the monster, the creature, and then of course she gets blamed. She's like, oh, there was a break-in, but I'm okay, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I do like that. She's like, it's fine, there was a I think this line is great. She's like, he was wearing a mask and a striped shirt and a really big hat, and Taffy's like,
Hamburglar.
I think you just described the Hamburglar. So Lisa's in her room, the zombie is in the closet, and the stepmom just starts going off. She's like, you're a bitch, and you know, you're a bum.
She was supposed to be at a conference, but she actually stopped because
the zombie spit a worm into her cottage cheese. And
that's another weird thing too, because it's like there was no one around and she poured the stuff.
I was like, why? Like, Lisa, why don't you just say I was at school?
Yeah,
I wasn't even around you. Like, how are you gonna blame me for that?
I know she's probably blaming her for saying it was in something and she didn't see it, but like, she made the breakfast, it looked delicious. She goes to the door, comes back, and there's a worm
in it.
It
looked delicious. It was cottage cheese
whatever, to people that like that thing. I'm just saying that she finds the worm and then blames Lisa. It's like,
and then she gets sick. She's like, I went to work and I shouldn't have gone to work and I'm so sick. And it's like, well, you put the worm in your mouth. Didn't even chew it up. So the zombie, realizing that Lisa's kind of in trouble, hits the mom in the head with a sewing machine.
The creature is played by Cole Sprouse, who is a Disney actor. He was in that Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. He played Cody in that. So that's what he's been around for a long time.
So somebody will recognize that guy. Nobody over the age of 25.
Yeah, I mean, people, right, people maybe, in their early 30s or late 20s grew up with Disney Channel. 40.
I keep forgetting that
part. Yeah, I was like, I think they might be older than you're giving them.
No, it's
like
I'm older.
It's like when people are like, Taylor Swift's fan base are all 9-year-old girls, and I'm like, she's been around for 17 years.
You know him. You know him 100%.
Why?
He's the kid in Big Daddy. He and his brother did the Olsen Twins thing.
Oh, this is the kid. Is that right?
He's the kid in Big Daddy.
Oh.
He and his brother, because of the time limitations of child
actors. I didn't
realize
that.
Switched, and there were two kids.
Okay. Okay. So, I do know that guy, though.
Same?
Yeah.
So he's been around for a long time.
So he kills the mom and
hits her in the back of the head with something heavy.
A sewing machine, I think.
Yeah. And then at first, I'm like, oh, she's knocked out. Because, again, tonally, you have no idea.
There's
right.
blood
going
leaking
way. And
everywhere.
Then there's a pile of
this
cool
is,
blood.
This
go,
is
oh.
very much Heather's when they accidentally kill the first person.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh. And then they get to the next two, and you're like, oh, this is real.
Like, isn't that Jawbreakers, too, did that thing where they didn't mean to kill the girl, and she chokes on a jawbreaker?
That is definitely a thing. I don't remember
that's kind of another one that was like an inspiration.
Very much so, yes.
Yeah, they like kidnap the girl or something and play a trick on her and put a jawbreaker in her mouth so she can't talk.
You're absolutely
right. And she
chokes
on it and dies, and they have to deal with the...
Natasha Lyonne?
I can't remember. Is it? Maybe.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Yeah, so they realize, you know, that Lisa can sew, so he's missing these pieces of his body, so he's kind of pointing at the ear, and she's like, okay, cool, and I do think that she's like, yeah, man, I'll chop that bitch's ear off, like, no problem. And I do think it's funny.
No, he rips it off and gives it to her. And she's like, I can't. That's not how it works. And then
that's right.
She's
she sews it on there.
Sews it on. It's got the diamond stud.
Yes, which is very, again, very 80s. And I do, you know, the Frankenstein element where he can't get it to work, but if we put him in the sunbathing thing.
I like that a lot. That was clever. How she goes to the tanning bed and it's like sparking.
Short circuits.
She's like, oh, this is messed up. And she uses that as the Frankenstein, you know, electricity device.
Right.
And it was clever. Like,
it's
that's
very,
a very,
it's very
funny,
clever.
Yeah.
Then they realize, okay, we need to get you an arm. So earlier in the movie at the party, there was a kid who you think is the good guy. And of course he isn't, you know, where Lisa is, incapacitated, and he's got his
hand. This is Adam Brody or whatever from the Being a Promising Young Woman.
It is.
I mean, I'm just like, we've seen this in a better movie, and I'm not saying that you can't.
Oh, I don't. But you can do this trope. I mean, the trope of the, you know, the guy, nice guy who's not a nice guy.
Yes, but it's always harder, I think, when you've seen a better example, and you're like I knew exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah,
when he was trying to help her and whatever, it's like there was one where I
did not think it was going to go the way it was going to go. Where he goes, doesn't that feel good? And I was like, dude, he's going to be like in between her legs.
Yeah,
like that's where I thought we were going. But it's just his hand on her boob, and she reacts, and he was, you know, again doing what nice guys do and calls her names. So she tricks.
Once you start, you can't stop.
Yeah. Like
they're giving him reasons to not care that he dies, which obviously in the real world, I mean.
That's fine.
Murder maybe is not the answer.
Yeah, so she kind of lures him out into the woods, and he's like, what's going on here? And of course, now the zombie attacks.
So she slipped a note in the locker.
To get him to come.
And that girl is also the one that turns him in to
for the note. Right.
But so she's like, check yes or no. Do you want to go hook up or whatever?
And we think she's sending the note to
the cute punk, boy. Yeah.
But as soon as we see the little guy, he's like, oh, buddy. Good luck.
Yeah.
So they cut off his arm, and of course he's like, what, you know, and it's, they show it like to their credit, like, and he's like, what's going on? This is crazy. And he's running away with like half an arm off, and the zombie picks up the axe and like flings it and hits him in the back of the head. And now they put him back, you know, that she sews on the arm, they put him back into the machine. And now every time he goes into the machine, he gets a little bit
less dead,
less
more
dead.
Alive,
more human looking.
I thought they were going to use the machine to bring the stepmom back.
Oh, that's interesting.
I didn't know what they were going to do.
Like, see, things could have gotten zany like that. They really could. Where now you've got a zombie stepmom trying to track him down. Or something. That could have been interesting.
Yeah,
but I did notice, like, at first his makeup is so caked on. He's very rubbery.
He's very zombie.
And every time he goes in the machine, like it's alive.
They take a little bit.
They're doing that so people won't accuse them of necrophilia, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah, Joe, you're the one.
I didn't say it. You said it. So, and that's kind of how this movie progresses. She gets more and more comfortable being in this kind of crazy world. The mom is missing. Now the cops are starting to sniff around and figure out what's going on.
I will say, as soon as the stepmom's dead, she's like, oh my God, whatever. And then she takes her with a wagon and she's happy and like singing and car. She is comfortable with it as soon as the mom is dead.
Yeah. And she's like, I was cool with it because she was mean. And then, you know, with Roger, whatever his name was, she's like, he was a little weirdo.
Because she carries herself differently when they're wagoning the stepmom to the cemetery. She's like skipping.
That's a really funny scene, too, that I liked, where they just kind of like whoop and like dump her in the grave. Now the police are sniffing around, and Lisa has decided, we're screwed. Like, we're going to go to jail. We're going to get caught. I want to lose my virginity to Hunky McHunkertons.
Yeah.
So she...
The creature's like driving around at this point.
Which is also kind of funny. Like, where did you learn how to drive?
But yeah, whatever. I know. I was thinking that too.
Like, yeah, it was a weird one.
So he definitely has already fallen in love with Lisa. There's a very funny scene where they're sitting in Lisa's closet, and he pulls out the back massager, and she was like, don't touch that part. Like, she's got his hand like on the knob.
Why? It's just a back massager.
Yeah, right. And then there's a scene also where... he's trying, you know, she's like, she's feeling all tense, and they're in bed together. And I think that the way she delivers this line, I think, is great. And she's like, you know, that
can sometimes go, people
put that in other places besides their back.
And I like, you know, that. I mean, the weird thing is that they're high school kids, and I always think it's a little weird when you're
that's
doing
fair.
This stuff.
They're seniors,
but,
though.
True.
Doesn't matter.
But it's still
17.
Yeah, it's very, it's a little
and
weird.
He's not 17. He's like, like 300 years old.
But even, I don't know how old he was when
that's
he
true.
Died.
That's
like,
true.
He might be 19.
Right.
You know? So I do like that at least after that little jokey scene, you never see, like, really anything sexual between them, but you cut to the parents hanging out on the dad and the sister, I think, are
she goes,
watching
oh my
TV,
God.
And then a surge happens,
because, and you hear her scream,
and you hear ah, and they're just like, what, and it, you know, moving on. But it was a funny little.
So she goes, they're going to Hunky McHunkerton's house, and this is the moment where I was like, oh no, this is, and the boyfriend, the zombie sees the sister's car outside this guy's house. And so Lisa walks in and finds them together, and she kind of let her have it. Give, you know, how could you do this to me? Blah, blah. The zombie comes in with a axe and chops this dude's dick off. And there's a hilarious scene where, like,
you see the silhouette of
it flying. Yeah. And then like you see a ball like ricochet off of the trash can and into the trash can. And of course, now this guy's dead. So, and Taffy is losing her mind.
Rightfully so.
Yes. Our main characters kind of leave and go, you know, they try to get Taffy under control. And Lisa has a really good speech with her. She's like, I'm really sorry. Like, I'm sorry that I took you for granted and that I wasn't a good sister and I love you. And, you know, Taffy is freaking out.
She's in shock. I do Absolutely. Like how they play this.
She's not automatically accepting. Yeah. She's like, oh my God.
And I will say that this is the only guy they kill that did nothing wrong.
He did nothing wrong.
The only thing he did wrong was not be attracted to Lisa.
Well, we don't know that he wasn't, but he was definitely seeing Taffy.
Well, he says, I don't like that way.
Oh,
you're right.
In that moment,
he does.
But he never wronged her, like cheated her or led her on or anything. Like, he was a nice guy. So he's purely innocent. Whereas the other kid, the other kid maybe didn't deserve the axe death,
from within a film construct, you're like, okay, I don't care if this guy dies.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Like legally. Yeah.
In the movie, doesn't matter.
But this guy, the hunky Hunkerton
did not deserve the
just
John Wayne
up with the girly
the John Wayne
with,
Bobbitt you know? Treatment. Yeah. He did not get that. If you kids don't know who that is, Google him.
Worse than John Wayne Bobbitt.
I guess they didn't reattach it.
Well, and John, according to that silhouette, he cut off
his all of it,
dick and balls.
Yeah. That's true.
Cut off the whole shebang.
There's no adult film career waiting for this young man.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? So they go back to the grave, and there's a cop. They've quarantined. They've made this a crime scene already, and there's a cop there. And this zombie just picks her up and throws her into the
crowd. That's a real goofy one.
I was rolling with it at that point. It is very goofy. You're right, but it's
does
just like
have a gun.
Yeah,
but it's a girl cop.
Yeah,
come on. And I thought that one was very strange. How easily she allowed herself to be picked up and then didn't do any cop
got tossed
stuff.
Into a grave.
Yeah, it was weird.
Lisa and the zombie realized they both love each other. And like, we'll do this together. And he was like, can't. And she was like, you know, what do you mean you can't? And again, like grabs her hand and puts it on his junk.
I just wish they hit it a little more because clearly he chopped off the unit.
The fact that it's sticking out of his pocket, man, that was hilarious.
But then why didn't she notice it sticking out of his
pocket?
Maybe she did.
Was just like, whatever.
She's a good girl. Eyes appear.
It was a surprise to her. She was totally surprised by
So yeah, she sews on the dick and balls, puts him back into the machine, and now he's almost completely human looking.
Yeah.
And they have a good time.
Well, he's a man now, Joe.
That's true.
Last part.
Yeah, the last thing he needed. So they have a good, you know, they do their thing. They realize, Lisa realizes, I'm like, there's nothing I can do.
What kind of message does this send?
I was left
with a really bad taste in my mouth after this. So yeah, I did all this bad stuff. So just kill yourself. Good.
So she solves her problems with suicide.
Yeah.
Very problematic.
Like, I was just like, ooh, like I get that. Like they're probably using the logic of like, well, it's not really suicide because we can bring her back. But like, if you bring her back, she's still the same person and subject to laws. So that doesn't really get you out of it.
Yeah,
it's not like double jeopardy.
Right.
You know? I thought it was just a very bad message. I did not like it.
It's tough.
Like, what are they trying to say here?
I don't know. Like, I just took it as like, this is just a goofy, weird movie, but I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say? She hops into the tanning bed and they have her turn it, you know, he turns it all the way up to
11
bronze. Yeah. More bronze, I think is what it was called. And if they set the whole thing on fire and all of the neighbors are like, yeah, she was the weird one. And
Max bronze.
Is that what it was? And we flash forward to like a couple years later and Taffy and the dad cracked my stuff up. He was great. He reminded me of, is it Clue Gallagher? Oh man, there was the.
He reminded me of the character that Jimmy Fallon. He doesn't play him, but the dad, like the dad that would like always come downstairs and be like, "Do you need?" And he's like dressed up as a girl, and he's like, "No, Dad." The Ooh guy, yeah. And he plays him in the skit at the beginning
That's
of the ride
funny.
Too.
Yes, yes,
he
yes.
reminds me of that guy, the dad. Interesting.
No, there was an actor. He was in Friday the Nightmare on Elm Street 2. He played the dad in that. Who this guy reminded me a lot of.
I'm surprised that I know they wanted to put a bow on it. Now, like the dad and her are still a happy family, whatever. I'm surprised that the daughter sister would visit the grave of Lisa after everything she did.
I think that goes to show you that she is still a good person.
Yeah.
Is that she's willing to
go
to the grave. And she does, she sees on the grave something. We don't know what it is initially, but the dad, we're going to go to Fuddruckers. And I was like, Fuddruckers, holy. And then the camera pans down and on the side of the tombstone, it says beloved wife. And there's two little like peach rings that they had used. And then we cut back to the park bench that we had seen earlier. And there's the zombie reading a book, and we see a bandaged up Lisa, whose eyes open. And that's kind of how the movie ends. I had a blast with this. Like, did I think it was perfect? No. Did I know that this was definitely like a throwback to those old, you know, like, again, if you into the salt mines, if you will, go find My Boyfriend's Back or Once Bitten or there was a babysitting one. Not the babysitter. Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Yeah.
Or The Burbs. Like, all of these kind of
remaking that.
No.
Yeah.
The Burbs.
No, don't tell mom the babysitter said.
That's unbelievable. There's always like
Weekend at Bernie's,
kinda. But I mean, I would put Weekend at Bernie's in that category. Like, it is
just
because
the guy's dead and they're dragging.
It's
him
a
around.
Very weird movie. The it fact is, that, you know, it's
fair. I'm not. They made a sequel.
Two.
How did they?
Two.
No, there's
weekend,
one.
It's Weekend at Bernie's two.
Oh yeah.
Like, oh, I was like, there weren't two sequels.
How did they explain his body not being decomposed?
I don't know.
I think it was like wasn't like a Jamaican curse or something.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
They embalmed them.
It was some sort of voodoo thing.
That's funny.
That's so crazy. They could make a sequel out of. Hey, man. I loved those movies as a kid.
Go check those out. This is kind. You know, again, we talked about Edward Scissorhands and Beetlejuice. Yeah. It is very much in that world. I think this is a lot of fun. It's goofy. It's funny. The ending, I can agree that is a little weird.
I like the idea of it. I really do. I liked the soundtrack. I liked the 80s vibes of it. I liked her. Who is it? Catherine Newton? Is that her name?
Yeah.
I thought she's phenomenal. I think that she's going to be a big star. I mean, in Ant-Man, she was fine, but I never really noticed her. But, like, she has the charisma. She has the riz, as the kids say.
Got to tell you, I didn't know what that meant until about a week ago.
she's really good, and I think that she's going to be a star.
Well, I think next week we all might have the same opinion.
You never know.
Oh,
could you imagine
that Dakota Johnson's going to be a star?
Yeah, well,
it's going to be one of the better movies. What if it does like Venom and makes $900 million?
It would not surprise
me. Here's the thing. This is the only reason I'll bring this up. There's one person in that movie that might get people into that theater, and that is Sydney Sweeney. I think she is more popular right now than anybody in that movie. Yes.
Is that what? Okay.
Yeah. She is more popular than anybody in that movie. And I just wonder if her popularity is going to generate revenue.
I wonder.
I don't know.
You know,
which one is Sydney Sweeney from Euphoria?
The blonde with the big boobs.
Oh, okay. Well, because there's the trans girl too.
Oh, sure.
And so,
sure,
like,
sure.
She's blonde.
Yeah.
And
that's Hunter Schaefer?
Yeah.
I've never seen
it. And so I didn't know their, I don't know any of their real name except for Zendaya.
Fair. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. But I mean, like, that Sydney Sweeney was on SNL like just recently.
Yeah.
So I guess so was Dakota Johnson.
Yeah.
But I'm curious if that will.
I don't think so. My prediction is it won't. I know that a certain crowd is going to go for Sydney Sweeney. Like, you know, she's going to have that built in audience, but I don't know anyone that's seen that movie and gone, well, that looks great. It just looks like such a joke.
It looks
like an SNL skit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, I get it.
It's supposed to look bad. Like,
yeah. And like some of the footage I've seen of Dakota Johnson making the media rounds, she looks like a hostage.
Yeah.
Like, she's just like,
God.
Yeah.
She has to know what's coming.
Yeah.
She fired her agency.
Did she?
After this.
Yeah.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, she did. For real.
For real? I thought that was a joke.
No. No. She said the article is like, after this, she was like, done.
After they got her a Marvel movie?
This isn't a Marvel movie.
It's not a Marvel movie.
This is a Sony movie.
Yeah.
It has a Marvel tag on it.
Yeah. I'm just saying,
that
though.
A real Marvel
that
movie.
Ain't a real
I mean, she probably got paid. I just can't imagine she fired.
But I think, you know, yeah, you want to get paid, but you also want to build a career, and getting paid a lot for a movie that's going to be just a complete piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not.
Yeah.
This does not get you to the next level.
That surprises me that she couldn't detect it before she took it somehow. Like, I just, that just seems weird to me. Like, oh, yeah, you're fired because I did this.
Well,
movie.
They probably sold her a bill of goods, too. They're probably like, I no, it's going to tie into Spider-Man, and we're going to get this, and we're going to get that. And then they didn't get any of that.
Oof, it looks like that Halloween costume of that black suit.
Boy,
Spider-Man.
So that's bad.
Well, anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table, and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, B-U-T-T-S-21, and at Letterboxd. They're the same.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and of course, don't forget our Patreon. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Dobermans attack and kill Eddie.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.